Over 5 million people play football in the USA, and here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 yards of football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 yards of football now.
It's that time of year as college basketball takes center stage with the tournament finally upon us. If you're looking to wager this year, BetOnline is the number one spot for all of your updated odds and info, along with great contests, including the bracket contest, where you have a chance to take home the top prize. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEV, that's BLEAV, to get started. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football. And tonight is our legend segment. And you know how we do it on Mondays, right? We're back in the 561, one of Delray Beach finest, Miss Linda Bryant-Scott. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we had to have you on. You're
a
legend.
I'm good. It's a beautiful day here.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, Linda, you and I go back a long, long, long way. I mean, you know, we used to live in the same neighborhood pretty much. You live on the corner of 14th and is that 2nd Street? And I live over there on 12th Avenue, walking distance, foot distance. And so we go back a long way. And so we're going to talk about, you know, you're a model, you're a business owner. I mean, you're in fashion to a high degree. We're going to talk about that, but we got to go back to the very, very beginning, right, with you.
Okay.
And, you know, people in our generation, they know about you. But let's talk about you when you were a little kid. You were an athlete. You were first an athlete, correct?
First an athlete. No, first a tomboy. Let's go at what it was. You know what we said back then.
Well, I'm going to tell y'all right now. She has never been a tomboy to me. we're gonna talk about how you were founded in the modern area. I take claim to that. I found her, right? One night I was walking home from the library. And my first girlfriend had just broke up with me. And Linda was walking ahead of me, and I'm telling you, my mind was like, "Whoa!" And I walked and followed you all the way home. So I take claim that I'm the one.
I didn't know that part, but
I followed you all the way home. I sure did.
Well, I tell you what, I'm so glad that you found me. How about that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about it. So when you were a tomboy, so you say, what sports did you play growing up in Delray?
Okay, so what sport I didn't play?
What sport? Because
if you were from Delray, you played everything. It wasn't no one particular sport that you was gonna do. If the ball was over, we played it. So, you know how it is. Coming out of that Carver Park, Carver was there. Then we had to go to Atlantic High School. So it was a ball.
It was
we
a ball.
Played it.
Now you
we
got
played it.
Back in the day that we were in high school, there was one sport that we didn't play in high school, which is crazy when you think about it today. They played at the old Carver High was girls basketball, and so we didn't have a girls basketball team in the mid 70s.
Right.
That was crazy, right? It's amazing. First time I saw
it was really crazy. I actually didn't play. Repeat that because you went out. I'm sorry.
Okay, but let's talk about basketball. We didn't have a girls' basketball team back in those days, and I know you I know you'd have dominated the basketball floor, hands down. And so, but you. What were the sports that you played growing up in Delray?
I played softball was my game. I played volleyball in high school. I tried to play tennis, but that was kind of boring to me. But if I'd have known what I know now, I'd have hung in there. I would have hung in. But coming up with Zach made us play softball. Yeah, okay. Zach picked us up he picked me up when I was in the sixth grade. So wow. I've been playing it forever.
A long time.
And love the sport. A long time, Bobby. Like, long time.
Long time. but it was a great sport for girls in Delray, especially on the south side of Delray. You know, right, and then with Zach and people like Red Odom and, you know, those guys invested in baseball and things in the community. I mean, it was a given that if you're a girl and you were athletic, in those days, you had to play girls softball in Delray.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what, coming up with Zach and Red Odom, Sebring and a couple of other coaches back up in there, it was so educating, not just playing the sport, why are you playing the sport, and teaching you life. That's what it was all about. It taught us so much, not just get from it, because all of us stayed in the same neighborhood. So, you know, you playing against Glamis and Linda Lee and Brenda Wesley and all of us played in the same city.
I mean, that's powerful. We you know, one of the things Linda,
that's what they taught us.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that it's important that we say that, because you know, I started playing youth football when I was like 10 years old. I played for Bump Mitchell, and I can tell you tons of life stories and life lessons that I learned the first year I started playing organized football with that man. And then every year, and then I can tell you the life lessons that Red Odom taught me, right? And didn't have to say things. The things that he taught me, the things he said to me. And when I got older, I would look back and remember what Red did for me or what Coach Mitchell did for me, and it carried me on through my whole career, right? And so it's amazing the life lessons that we learn from sports. So I played basketball with your brother Ben in high school,
right?
And Charlene was a cheerleader, your sister, at Atlantic High School.
Correct.
And so I mean, we had a great group, right? Now, Linda, what year you graduated from high school?
Right.
What year did you graduate?
1976. That year.
So you in your class were monthly.
Yeah, you know what, Bobby? With all of them, Moat Wesley, Steve Cornelius. All of that whole group. That was the year that we all did it.
I always said this about your class, right? It was the most fun I ever had in high school, my junior year, playing with those guys when they were seniors in high school. Because we had some dogs out there now. You know, gosh. And listen, we had some ballers out there. Matter of fact, I always say this about that team. That team, it was easy for me to play because they were so good, right?
So talented.
I didn't have a load on my back being the quarterback. You know, I just get a ball to Moat Wesley, get a ball to Mutt Lee.
It's done. That's it.
It's a wrap. And then every now and then, throw the ball to Steve, right?
It
was a great year. So let's talk about you. Let's talk about you, the evolution. You're an athlete. You learn a lot of things about life, being an athlete, but when did you get the idea of going into fashion or modeling in your life?
Wow, Bobby, everything came about. I think I was in seventh grade or something like that. That Ebony Fashion Fair was interested in the little skinny girl. And the little skinny girl back in the day. But, you know, being a PK child, Rev wasn't having it.
I feel you. So, I feel you.
Yeah. Being that PK child, daddy said, nope.
No.
And it was all right with me. I didn't know really what was going on, right, you know. Right. So doing that, they came back actually twice.
Okay.
And again, I didn't know really what the power was. Right. And I'm like, okay, so they want me to do it. My daddy said, no, okay, I'm still playing ball. So right. It's not bothering me. It wasn't, right, you know, I didn't lose any thought, no sleep, mm-hmm, no anything on it. Mm-hmm. So I think it was when it really connected with me was when I moved to Houston.
Ah, okay.
And when I moved to Houston back in 82, mm-hmm, I was discovered by a designer named Ann Golden.
Okay.
And she approached me and told me she wanted me to be her signature model. And I was like, dumb. Okay, so what's that? You know, what am I supposed to do? And she took me under her wing. She took me under her wing. Again, I had an opportunity to be a guest model for Ebony when they came to Houston. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Then called to Hamilton out of Chicago. Picked me up out of Chicago. And I was like, mm-hmm, what am I supposed to do again? You know, so they taught me so much about the business. But what I found out about the business is I was more educating or wanting to educate my people.
Yes.
About what was going on. Don't just get into this and, you know, there's a million beautiful women out there.
Yes.
What are you bringing to the table and how can you present yourself better than how I did, because I didn't know what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. So I found myself more into the educating part. Now, I did my modeling share, and I took care of my baby and sent her on to school with that. But I really enjoy educating.
Okay.
Let me teach you about this.
Exactly.
And so that's where... Mm-hmm. That's where I started out at on the runway.
Wow.
And just going, oh, okay. You know how it is when you come from Delray. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't talk against nobody else, but I know coming from Delray, your mind, you clear. You had people who pushed you, not only your parents, we truly were the community's children.
Right.
And the education that Zyke and Red and all those people put in us, you can help what? Carry it over in your lifetime. So that's what took place. That's how I got into where I am today.
Wow. And let me ask you this question. You know, I hear what you're saying, because, you know, I'm saying we got a lot in common, you and I, right? You know, when the first year I played, my rookie year in the NFL, I couldn't wait to go back to Delray.
Right.
To hold my first football camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't know anything about football camps. I knew I wanted to go back home and get in front of the little boys in Delray, bring on Red Odom, bring on Bump Mitchell, bring on all those guys who coached me,
with
my peers from Palm Beach County, Anthony Carter, Ricky Jackson, Carlos Carson, you know, all those guys who were NFL players. Otis Anderson. I brought them back to Delray, and they helped me put on the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And just that give back is that education. Now, what I know what I wanted to do. I want to give those kids hope, you know, in the fact that, hey, look, I'm 5'11", 155 pounds my first year. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know how small I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was a little thing, right? But I put the big shoulder pads on, make myself look bigger.
Right.
But if I could do it, you guys can do it too if you stay the course and you learn some of the things I'm going to teach you here at this camp.
Right.
And in your football, the playing field is just one thing.
That's it.
The things that's off the field, your off the field character, the work ethic that you got to put in.
Right.
You know, I always say the mind games you have to play with yourself, your thought life, right?
Right.
You know, no matter what anybody tell you, know that you can.
That's right.
So that's what I couldn't wait to do that. And we did that. And that was January 1982, right after my rookie year. Mm-hmm. And I'm 62 years old, Linda, and I still do football camps.
Yeah.
Every year, all day long, because I love touching young people's lives.
And that's what we have. See, that's how we was raised, though, because that's my portion of, like, you couldn't wait to get back to Delray to do your football camps. Well, when I got back home, I moved into Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And unfortunate for me, my daughter was killed in a car accident.
Yes.
And that took me a whole nother place to go.
Right.
And I said, where am I? Who am I now? Because I don't even know. I don't know. You know, I'm right. I don't know. That's how I came. Mm-hmm. So, but I again have to go back to my PK learning. Mm-hmm. And I was home on a Saturday, and I heard God for myself. Amen. Not the old people telling me, you know, God spoke to me, da-da. God ain't spoke to you. You know, that's how I would say it. If God spoke to you, he'll speak to me, you know. And I actually heard God speak to me in reference to what I was doing and where I was going. And I'm like, hello? What? So now I say it to God because I thought he was confused with me and Charlene. And I thought he was confused, Bobby. I know he know every screen I had on my head.
He had it right.
I thought he had it right because that meant I had to be involved with children.
Yes.
I didn't want to be bothered with no children. At that point of my life, I'm done because you done took my only daughter. So now why I want to be bothered? Mm-hmm. So listening to this man talk to me, and when I say he has a sense of humor, and I'm like chuckling because I hear you chuckling, God. You still ain't got it right. That's Charlene who's like children, not Linda. Right. And so we me and him went through this little battle, but you know, he won. And I said to my son, you know, God has told me to help women, but curvy girls, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know no plus size. Look what I said, Bobby. No plus size.
Right.
Celebrity. I'm going big. You want me to talk to somebody? Okay, so I'm going big.
I'm big.
And he's like, no, I want everyday women. I'm like, so what am I going to say to them? And they don't know me in this capacity. They only know if you know me, you know me from sports, or, you know, I sing in different groups and church choirs and all that stuff. But they don't know me. But the man is so awesome, Bobby, that I ran into different women and I said, this is what I'm doing and this is who I am. And would you like to be a part of it? The first woman said, yeah, I just screamed. What? But the project was a calendar. It was a calendar, Bobby. It was a calendar.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And I had never done a calendar before. How do I know what to do? How I'm like you, where do I go? I ran into this person and that person, and I came up with a 13-year calendar. Wow. I think it was 2007. And when I tell you it was successful, I mean, I had calendars over in London and, you know, they were everywhere. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Okay. So awesome. I said, God, I did what you say, do not what you want me to do. Then I started holding the boot camps, showing you how to dress properly. What is sexiness? Sexiness is not having all your teeth out. You might see my boobs, but you know what I'm saying. So I need you to know what it is. And then I'm saying to God, okay, where am I going? So everything I did, I went back to him and I went back to my dad and I said to my dad, you know, God is playing with me. He trying to get me to go over here and go over there. Well, you know, if he told you to go there, he gonna make sure you get there. And he did. And I am so honored and so happy and so thrilled that I accepted the assignment that he presented to me. Because everything he wanted to do, wanted me to do, he put it right there in front of me. Right. So that's how your girl got going.
Well, Lynn, I'm going to tell you, that's how God works. You know, too often in the past, right? Too often in the way past, we thought that we had to be in church every day of the week to represent God.
That's right.
So I was fortunate enough to play college football with Coach Bobby Bowden. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that man was a preacher, whistle around his neck, right? That's what he was. So, but his whole thing was this. It was always faith, family, football. He'd been preaching that ever since I'd known him. Faith, family, football. And so he would take the team to church. Because when I left Delray and went to FSU, I was so happy that I was not under my daddy's thumb no more.
Right. I'm
not going to church every night of the week when the church door opened. And then the first free day we got in Tallahassee was a Sunday. We're doing two-a-day practice. You know, we killing each other. We tired and we physical. You know, and so Saturday, the second practice on Saturday, Coach Bowden brought us all up. He said, listen, guys. He said, we're not going to work tomorrow. And everybody's like, but I want you to put on your Sunday best. We're going to pick y'all up at the field house and we're going to church at this time. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I don't want to go to church. I want to play football, right? And so he would take us on Sundays to church. But he was always that living witness with the gifts and talent that God gave him. And that was to be a great football coach. Right. And he was great, Linda, because he put God
first. Yeah.
God was always first. But he was a great football player. That man, now, your daddy been a preacher ever since I've known him. Of course, my dad had been a preacher since the late 60s.
Yeah. Right?
I've seen a lot of people come down to the aisle and give their life to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you right now, Linda, I don't know no man, preacher, evangelist, prophet, apostle, whatever they want to call themselves, I don't know no man that has led more people to Jesus than Bobby Bowden.
What'd you say?
Get you up in that office. Go up in that office, he'll be, boy, I'm telling you, he was a minister with the whistle around his neck. So that's what we're to do. Now you're doing your modeling business and everything, but we got to keep God first.
We always everything that I do, Bobby.
Everything. And everything. So I even saw some of your videos. I see y'all pray before you even go out. And, you know, and I'm sitting in the spot. I said, "Look at my girl. She got it right. She got it right." So listen, talk about this. What you just did, women in suits.
Women in suits. Okay, so
tell me about that.
Women in suits. I actually was doing another project when when I got the phone call about women in suits. I'm like, women in suits. Well, all right, y'all can tell me about that later. I'm doing a project right now. I need to focus on this when I be finished on whatever date it was, and give me just a little bit so I could see whether or not I want to do this. And the young man from, I think it's New Jersey. No, the girl called me from Charlotte. She said, "Miss Linda, I told him I know somebody in Texas and you would run it." I said, "What I'm running, baby? And what you volunteering me for? What's going on?" So when she told me, I said, "Well, you know I'm in Texas. And I believe in the saying in Texas, everything in Texas is big." I said, "Well, y'all get ready because y'all gonna have some stuff going on. We coming at you then if I gotta do that." And Bobby, the women in suits, it's Women History Month, Women Month right now. And it's all about networking, because people say all the time that women can't work together. And that's not true. My effort was so little that when I post out there, "Hey, I'm looking for women in suits. This is it. I'm not saying no more. I want to show you that we can do this." And they had to go through it through Eventbrite. So going through Eventbrite, they had to register. I get the model release so I can use all the photos. Do you know within 2 weeks, I don't even know if it was 2 weeks. I think it was, I'll say 2 weeks. to be mm-hmm. fair to everybody else. But for 2 weeks, I had over 70 women to sign up. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I don't want to play with you, Bobby. You know, I'm in my coaching mode. Listen, this is what we're gonna do.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to get it. You know, we're going to get it together. I need my offensive coach over here, the defensive coach over there. This is what we're doing. And the ladies came up now. All 70 didn't show up on Saturday due to the fact that everybody, and there was other cities involved, and we were going to get together, take our pictures at the same time, but we still have next week when we're going to shoot them and just blow up social media women in suits. And the weather we had was extremely bad.
Mm-hmm.
So out of all of the 70 that signed up, mm-hmm. we had, I think, approximately, when I finished, 30 women. But what? You know, my thing is the weather bad. I know they all not gonna show up, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna do what I gotta do with whoever shows up.
There you go. There you
and
go.
The women that showed up, man, they showed out.
They showed out.
And they made me look so good, Bobby. Bobby, they made me look so good.
I love it. I love it.
I ain't done nothing, Bobby. I ain't done nothing. They made me look good. I just had this vision in my head. Okay, now when I get here, this is what we're gonna do. And mm-hmm. They followed instructions, and that's what this business is about. If you listen and follow the directions that I give you,
mm-hmm.
piece of cake.
Wow,
they did it.
Well, you know now, Linda. You know I've known you a long time, but I heard your coaching voice before. I've heard that voice before, so I know. I know you meant business, you know.
Bobby, I'm trying to be nice, Bobby. I'm trying to sound like, let's just go ahead and do it. It's easy. Yeah. Bobby, now I'm going to go ahead and let you in on that list, that almost secret that you know about. But I'm not a repeater. This is how it is. When you come up in here, I need you to come ready.
Right, there you go.
And what we're going to do. And if you just do it, and so I don't have to repeat it to you and say other words to you, it makes my job easy.
You're right.
But
you got that background now. If you got to push them, you're going to push them.
Yeah. You got to do it. There's no other way that you can do it. You got to do it that way. You got to. You know.
I think that's just old school training.
Old school. It comes from your parents, my parents, and our other community parents. Because, you know, the whole community. Zach said one thing. Zach said, if you touch the ball,
yes, sir.
You better catch it and throw it.
Yes, sir.
I say it a lot of times. Well, let me not touch this ball, because if I don't catch it, I'm in trouble. That's just the training that we got.
Yes.
And I am so honored. I am so happy to be in the era that I'm in, you know, to be with my peers such as yourself, to know where we come from with all of this stuff that we see kids who are crying out for help and nobody is helping them because we're talking about them. Instead of talking to them.
There you go.
So, because if they'd have got some of that abuse that we got, they wouldn't be here.
It was a different thing. When I tell some of the stories of how I was coached, and they say, man, people didn't do that. I go,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
You know, and you could do it. When I tell kids today, you know, their mom and daddy got to take them to practice. I walk to practice.
Hello? And you better be on time.
You better be on time. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't no joke. So we have the parents so involved in our regular regimen and practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, Linda, because some of the things that Bump and Red did in practice, I'm glad my mama never saw that.
Right.
My mama never saw that, right? I'm so thankful.
Right.
And some of the
verbs that they used on it, it's like, wow, for real?
Yeah, our parents was in ministry too. Oh my
yes. God. Yes. Oh Lord. Yes. Zach used to charge us a quarter, and back then a quarter was a lot for a child who ain't got no job. You late? Oh no, you paying for this right here. All right, you missed the ball. You paying for this right here. Like what? Who does that? Where we gonna get a job from? You better go sell some bottles. You better do something, but you're paying for it. Yeah, you know,
it's funny that you say that, right? Because I remember when I was playing the Falcons in 1991. It was 1991, and we had a pretty good team. But you know, the year before we didn't win many games, and so one day I'm the senior guy in the room. And I said, you know what, guys, y'all know why we're not winning. I said, we don't practice right. We're not practicing right. We're not putting no effort in practice, right? I said, so here's what we're going to do in the secondary. Here's what we're going to do. If y'all get beat for a touchdown in practice, that's going to be $10. Wow. If you drop an interception, that's going to be $1. So we put a fine. We're fining the players. We put a fine together, and that same team, the same players went from 5-11 the year before to 11-5 the next regular season, and in the playoffs, and almost went to the semifinals of the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
But we stepped our practice game up, right? And we took it to we had a guy like Deion Sanders making back then he was making $2 million a year, right? That was a lot of money back then, right?
Right.
Deion laying out in practice to keep from getting beat, laying out, diving in practice, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what we needed to go to the next level.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad you said how much yours was, because when we do shows, it's like, listen, you only have four tires on your car. So you can't have four flat tires. So you better be here on time. You can't get children sick. You need to stay home because your child has an illness. But I had a $50 fee, Bobby. If you, I'm gonna give you 6 minutes. I gave you 6 minutes to be late. That seventh minute,
right?
I needed you to come in with the $50 cash. I didn't want your checks. Bring me $50 cash
exactly
to be on time, because I need you to learn how to be on time.
Right, exactly.
So this is a business. Right. This is not a game. It's not a game. So you come in, and I'm gonna tell you what I was gonna do with it, Bobby. I told them that I would go out to the finest restaurant on you. I would find me a pair of shoes that I wanted, and I'll tell you, thank you for buying me those shoes. So now I'm telling you what I'm doing with your money. You either saying, I'm not buying you no dinner, Miss Linda,
right.
I'm not buying you a pair of shoes, I'm gonna be on time. So I didn't even know. I mean, I don't know what else that I could have done anything different than look back on where I came from and say, thank you, Zach.
But you know, you just can't take business light. You know, it's your livelihood. You can't take it light. Right. You gotta be professional. You know, my biggest thing is being on time, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember my whole life, I've never been late to nowhere. One night in high school, you know, we had a curfew on Thursday night. Coach Wilder was the head coach. And, you know, he wouldn't come by the house, but he'll call. He'll call, and you know, parents, and they give you the phone. All right, Bobby, you in? All right, we'll see you tomorrow, right? And he'll call every player. Man, one night I'm with my boy Larry Coffin, my boy, right? and we up in Boynton. Now, Larry and them move on, when they left 13, they moved on South of Delray, almost to Boca, right? Mm-hmm. And they bought the house over there. And so we're in Boynton hanging out, me and Larry. And Larry had to go by the McDonald's to get this quarter pounder. And it was like 9 o'clock. Now I had to get Larry where he lived, and then I had to get back to where I lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, man, you know, it ain't gonna take long. We go there, and the food late. I left that McDonald's because, you know, we only had one back then, the one in Boynton.
Right.
And so I went up there. I had about 15 minutes to get home. And so we had figured out, Larry going to my house. We're going to tell Coach, he's staying the night with me, right?
Right.
And I, my daddy had that little pacer, and I had that pacer to the floor. And I'm going to tell you, Linda, I almost made it. Then a cop got me. That's my first
speeding ticket. Oh, wow.
So then, wow. Not only was I late, Larry was with me, and we had to call Coach Wilder and say, look, Coach, I'm sorry. So, but he didn't treat us too bad. He ran us on Monday, though.
That, hey, you gotta get there. I'm late, but it's not I'm late because I'm late. I have a team, and I have a beautiful team, beautiful, hardworking young ladies. Mm-hmm. And they already know what to do because mm-hmm. getting from one place to the next, I might need mm-hmm. to make that stop to pick up some things
right,
in between.
Right, absolutely.
Well, yeah. So one of the models challenged me one day and said, Miss Linda, you late. I said, you absolutely right. Now, what you going to do about it?
Exactly, right?
Yeah, now what you gonna do about it? Because I was late. I made this rule. So what you doing about it?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
if you late, then you should do just what I'm doing now. And then now what I need for you to do is go in and get all your stuff. And then you can leave. How about that?
That's right.
No, I'm okay then.
You're good. She was good then, right?
You don't even know who you're playing with. Girl, I still fight children. You don't even know who I am.
I know that's right.
You don't even know. That was my aerobics. When y'all out there going to the gym, I wanted to beat up a couple of guys. So listen, don't challenge me like that. Don't let none of this stuff fool you. I can pull off all the lipstick, all the other stuff. The hair's mine. It ain't coming off. But
right,
I can do some things. You don't want to get you. You better go ask who Linda. Hey, Bobby, you better go ask who Linda Bryant is. Not Linda Scott. Yeah. And you, thank God you know Linda Scott and you don't know Linda Bryant. Yeah. So, but that's the business that we're in, and it's awesome. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world, Bobby. I love what I do. I love traveling and just teaching them about the business. Let me just teach you about the business. And when I see you go further into the business, man, it's like they just wrote me a check for $5 million because I'd be so excited to see you go forward.
Absolutely. It's something about that, you know, the joy of helping somebody, propelling somebody to their destiny. Right.
Yes. Yes.
It's nothing like that for me, you know. Mm. I eat it up, man. When I can help a kid do that.
Yeah. It falls back on what my dad and Zach said. You'll always hear me talk about Zach. Zach was
absolutely
that go-to daddy, you know, and my dad was always around for me. So but I still Zach was there.
Right.
So my dad said to me one night. A statement, and then Zach turned around 2 days later and said the same thing. Okay. Is that you don't want to go to your grave with the knowledge that you have and you didn't feed it into nobody.
That's right.
Did y'all plan to say that? It was like, what you talking about, baby? Because how do two people say the same thing?
And
it was just like, wow.
Right.
And Bobby, I don't care who it is. Or where I am, if I can help you, I'm helping you.
Oh, absolutely.
If I can't, I know somebody who can.
There you go.
That's me. That's who I am. I'm not jealous. Mm-hmm. I'm jealous of Oprah. Let me just tell you. Bobby, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. That's my jealousy. It stops right there.
That's your button right there, right?
Yeah, it stops right there. But anybody else, I don't care. How can I help you? Right. I've done this before. Let me tell you, if you go to the right a little bit,
right,
you can make it a little bit better for you. So I was raised up like that, just like yourself, we have to give that extended hand. We can't hold it in our pockets. We can't walk around and go, okay, now, she going to fall in a minute. And we don't tell her you're going to fall? Come on.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it's all about. See, for me, Linda, we talk about ministry. That's ministry in itself.
Yeah.
That's ministry. And so, and you love and you care for people. It's It's just nothing like that.
You know, Bobby, you know we was you know we was hooligans out there, and my daddy said, "Look, my daddy had six kids. My daddy said, and four of them are going to be ministers, right?" Uh-huh. So you know who said it wasn't? That was me and Andrew. Oh no, no, it ain't us.
That's not gonna happen, right?
No, it ain't us. And they will always say that it's you. And I know, Daddy. Mm-hmm. God won't let me into his pulpit. He know I ain't got good sense. He ain't gonna let me up there. But Bobby, it was just like what you said earlier. It wasn't about being in the pulpit.
Right.
It was that outside the pulpit thing you had to do. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So Daddy, yes. So every time that you bring someone into the church, are you doing this right here? That's God's ministry.
Yes.
So I take my work, Bobby, seriously. Amen. I need you to know who God is and how God can help you get wherever you work.
You want to know. That's right. That's right.
If you hold on to his hand, he'll pull you up. Don't think that it's Miss Linda pulling you up. Mm-mm, God. Because he got to give me some strength to pull you up. So I know he's pulling you up just as well and higher. Absolutely. So I'm just... Boy, listen. Let's talk about us because about to get into the church thing now. I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to go. That's something else, man.
Well, you know, it's just amazing. You know, it took me a whole lifetime to figure that out. You know, when I talk about Coach Bouton, I always talk about him because even the first time I met that man, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you why. I felt like I was connected to this guy. Mm-hmm. I met him the first day I met him with my mom and my daddy. You'll love this, Linda. My mama had ideas where she wanted me to go play college football. Mm-hmm. She loved the idea that I played quarterback in high school. Mm-hmm. And she loved the idea of me going to some school and being the first black quarterback like I was at Atlantic.
Atlantic, I see.
She liked that idea, right? So mm-hmm. Alabama was recruiting me to play quarterback. Bear Bryant now. Uh-huh. I told my mama, we went to Florida State. After the meeting with Coach Bouton, I turned to my mama. I said, look, I'm playing for that guy. Wow. My mama said, you can't make that decision now. You got to go on all your trips, right? I'm like, mama, I'm telling you, I'm playing for this guy. I really felt it in my heart. That's all I can tell you. Something inside me saying, this is the guy.
Where you going to go?
This is the guy.
Yeah.
So, and then I went up to East Lansing, Michigan. Michigan State. I went on a recruiting trip to Michigan State, and it's the first time I ever saw snow, Linda. Uh-huh. Right? All right. And so I had my high school football jacket. That's all I had. Uh-huh. All the jacket I had, you know, as a kid growing up in Delray. We don't need no jackets in Delray.
Right. Don't need it.
Don't need no jackets. So I go to East Lansing with Van Williams, Johnny Haynes, and a couple other guys. A guy named John Swain from Miami. We're all up there together the same weekend. Met Magic. You know, Magic was in the same class we were in. It was doing basketball season. Right. And they were recruiting Magic heavily, right? And we got a chance to meet him.
Right.
Anyway, man, they came and got us from the airport, took us straight to the stadium. And boy, them coaches were selling. They put us in the press box, right? And they said, look at all that. We can sit about 100,000 in here. And yada, yada, we got this and that. And all I can see is that white powder. And I'm saying to myself, ain't no way. Ain't no way. So make a story short, I go back home and I'm missing basketball games because I was on the basketball team and I'm a senior, right? And they need me to be there. And so I told my mama, I came back from that trip. I said, look, I'm not going on another trip. I know what I want to do. I'm going to Florida State. I ain't going to Alabama. I ain't going nowhere else. I'm going to Florida State.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. I had to be dogmatic about it. I'm playing for Coach Bouton, right? And it worked out.
Yeah, it did. Some things we have to, at some point, we have to say to our parents, but we had to do it from an distance, you know, because.
you know what you're saying, right? You're preaching good now,
Bobby. You stand with the distance, and you say, "Hey, I'm going to this school right here. Playing ain't nothing coming, so you have to duck. But once they found out that mm-hmm. our heart was good,
yes.
and they had did all they needed to do with us to get us where we were,
right.
they said, okay, well, your mind is made up. Mind you get the door, but your mind is made up. And it didn't hurt anything. It didn't hurt anything. No, it was all good.
Well, you know, one day you get a little growner, you get a little more responsible as you're growing up in the household. You know, because I know when I left for college, I was ready. So Linda, for me, and my mama said something to me, and to this day we argue about this, right? Jokingly argue about this,
right?
Because she said I did this, and I'm not that kind of guy, right? I said, Mama, I didn't do that. So when they took me to Florida State to drop me off, she said, they got me to the complex. She said, I got out of the car. I got my suitcase out of the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I left and didn't even say bye to them. I don't remember that. My mom was, but you know, you can tell I must have did it because she still, like, she was hurt about it, right?
Right.
So immediately it came to me, Mama, if I did that, I'm sorry. I said, but I'm
right.
I just told her, I said, I was just ready for that time to come. I was excited. I've been dreaming about it for a long time. And it came. And I was ready. Y'all prepared me for it.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Hold on one quick second for me, Bobby.
Go ahead.
I'm coming. Ma.
I got my godmother here and somebody at the door. And I'm trying to.
Ma, open the door, please.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's just how it goes. But you get a little older, you're feeling your oats. You might get away a thing or two, but still, I'm with you.
That arm distance. Them parents ain't played. And depending, it depends on which arm you were on, what side. Because, you know, my mama still could throw, Bobby. That lady was throwing everything. I'm like, oh man. So sometimes you have to be behind the wall to try to say some things and get away with it. Yeah, it's crazy, man. That was a good life. Because we're still here, but it is a good life. It's good life.
And I'm
I remember one time talking to my mother and telling her that I appreciate every whooping you gave me.
Absolutely.
Everyone, I deserve probably 99% of them.
That's right.
Yeah,
but that got you when you did.
That 1%, I deserve it. But it gave me a minute to look back and say, "Oh, okay." If they'd have gave me a few more minutes, I would have did something.
Here's the thing: you and I both are the oldest in our family.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're the oldest child in the family, right?
Right.
And our parents was a little younger.
Right.
And they weren't taking nothing, right?
Nothing.
And so you and I got it more than the rest of the kids. Am I right?
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah.
I used to tell my dad, I said, look, why don't you beat me Saturday night? Save me from getting whooping on Sunday.
Sunday. Bobby, I got it. It was six of us. And Ben wasn't a fighter. And I had to stop playing whatever I was playing because, Pelp and all the boys, Landell German. Now I got to go beat them up. Hold on. Because I can't let nothing happen to my people.
To your brothers.
Yeah. I said, and I look back and I'm like, man, I done got in trouble. Some of them whoopings I got was because of you.
Charlene was
always so sweet and innocent.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah, just always, always. Mm-hmm. And I can't let y'all say nothing crazy to Charlene.
We gotta go.
It's a done deal. So yeah, being that first child back then, you got it for everybody.
We got it for everybody. That's right. Well, listen, Linda, tell the people how they can find out more about your business and what you're doing in the fashion world.
They can reach me, and I'm going to give you my number, which is 832-728-3124. They can find me on any social media with Linda Scott. And then there's a Linda Scott-Houston that only means I'm in the city of Houston. My home people still have the Linda Bryant page. My social media would be on Instagram is LS1426. So anything with LS1426, that's Linda Scott and 1426, it's models between the sizes of 14 and 26. That would be me. So you can't miss Linda Scott.
Awesome. Hey, listen, now, I tell you, when the Lord spoke to you and told you to do plus size, that was a right on time thing.
It was a God thing,
and it was the right timing for it. And, and it's amazing. And so you, in the beginning, I know you're going like, what? You want me to do what?
But you know what else I look at it as, Bobby? Mm-hmm. When I look at some of my pictures when I was that Linda Bryant girl, really, really skinny, I was like, dog, didn't nobody tell me I needed to eat? Or, you know, you look at the pictures, go, girl, you needed some weight on. But I had a lady who said to me, so do you like, aren't you glad? No, when are you going to go and lose weight? And I said, for what? Because this is who I am.
Right.
I feel better being a big girl.
Yes.
I look better, and I know you know I do.
Mm-hmm.
So being skinny in the modeling field, I don't want that.
Right, exactly.
I want to be the big girl. I want to be the big girl.
Absolutely.
No, well, I don't think that's... I said I'm healthier than them skinny girls.
Right, that's right.
So don't underestimate a plus-size girl.
Right, exactly.
Remember, I'm still your mama. I'm still your auntie. I'm still your sister. I'm still your banker. Absolutely. I said, hey, I'm all of those things. Anytime you see a plus-size girl, it ain't because we're eating.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast. Some of us got to be that way, and I chose to be that way. Let me stay that way. I'm in that line. Yeah,
exactly. So, Linda, let me ask you this question, too, because I don't know this, but I know you are tall. How tall are you?
I'm 6. The doctor said I was 6'2", but I think I'm shrinking now, so I'm going to go ahead and just keep it with a 6'1". 6'2". Yeah, I'm going to say 6'1". I have been saying 6'1" all my life, and the doctor told me I was 6'2". I said, no, I'm going to go ahead and stay to 6'1". So I'm going to stay at 6'1". Yeah.
Yeah, you tall.
I think I've been 6'1 since sixth grade.
Right, yeah. right. Because that day I found you walking home. See, now, one thing about me, Linda, this is crazy, right? I grew fast, quick.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in the eighth grade, I was 5'11 and a half.
Yeah.
I'm 62 years old. I'm 5'11 and a half. So I've been, since the eighth grade. I've been 5'11 and a half since the eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
I've not grown a half an inch since.
Wow.
Hurst had me playing center on the Carver Middle School basketball team. And then when I went to high school, Toe Francis put me at point guard.
Oh, I forgot about Mr. Hurst, too. Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, right. So, boy, we had some good people back here, Bobby.
I can stay here all day and preach because I'm still learning about Delray.
Yeah.
One of the things I'm probably going to share this with you, and this is something that Mr. Pompey put together, 1978, talking about the history of Carver High Athletics.
Yeah.
1944 to 1964. And Linda, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to send it to you in an email.
Yeah.
Because they had girls basketball back then. They had everything.
That's right.
And you're going to see some women that you know in Delray that you had no idea.
But you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I did know who those women were. Some of them.
Uh-huh.
Because my mother was one. Uh-huh. Joseph B. Wilson was one.
You're good. I see you know.
So I knew the history of the women's athlete. Miss Lois played ball. I knew that. So if I go back and think about the people who I was under, Miss Eva Mae, Miss Luella.
We were among the best.
Yes. So I knew quite a few. Mm-hmm. Would I like to know more? And are they still living? Would I like to go and talk with them? Yes.
Well, absolutely. Yes. So that's where I'm at right now, right? So I'm doing this show, and I'm doing it on Mondays. And a lot of people ask me, well, you're in Delray every week. I say, well, it's a lot to talk about concerning Delray.
Right. You know,
I want to get to Tallahassee a little bit more. I want to do more of the NFL stuff.
Right.
But, man, we got so much. The Delray story is so fast and so big.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to get out of it right now.
And absolutely.
So I'm going to email that to you because I want you to go through it. It is. Put it this way. I found out about some of my relatives that played ball that I had no idea.
Wow.
You know who was a good basketball player, female basketball player? This is gonna blow you away because you're not gonna see it, right? Because I know she don't look the part. My aunt, who taught typing at Atlantic, Vernice Butler, was a great basketball player.
No, I would have never said that.
Right, exactly, right? So what? Are you kidding me? Right?
Right. I would have never put her in that number.
It was good. Yvonne Lee.
Right. Lee, yep.
Started at Carver before she ended up going to Seacrest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she integrated Seacrest, by the way. And she was the first African American to go to Seacrest. But she started at Carver, you know, made a little name for herself. And they had to go to Seacrest, where she couldn't play ball.
Right, right. Yeah, see that Carver, Carver sitting over there was a monster. It's a monster. Those kids who go to that school, they don't even know what school they're in.
They have no idea.
They have no clue.
Know, I was there a few weeks ago, and they were tearing down some of the building, right?
Hmm.
And they got a new school, Village Academy.
Right.
On the south side.
Right.
But they're going to keep the gym, thank God. They're going to keep the cafeteria and the old administrative building, which is the first hall where, you know, Mr. Pompey and Mr. Watkins and all them used to have their offices.
Right.
And so we got to get a plan to do what's good for that school to keep it intact. Absolutely.
I think we should have a Legends game of some sort.
We need to do that. We need to.
And just have a good laugh, because it's like,
it's gonna be laughs now, right?
Yeah, good laugh. So we ain't gonna be able to run up and man up line. I'm gonna go half court like they used to play in the day. So I think we should get to we need to do that. We need to
We need to do something with
children.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm for that.
Let's all make it happen. Let's do that. We need to make it happen.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time, this show is presented by Bet Online.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show for tonight. We're just so pleased and so happy to have Linda Bryant Scott on with us tonight. She's a legend from Delray. Model business extraordinaire. Linda, thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing tonight. Hey,
thank you for inviting me.
If you like the show, comment, share with your friends. I'm Bobby Butler, your host. This is 100 Yards of Football. We'll see you next Monday.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football, Sports, Talk, Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.